actually the last. This has been a seven-part series about the book of Nehemiah. These are all really standalone messages about Nehemiah and what he went through in building the wall of Jerusalem and how he motivated the children of Israel to do that. And we've looked at seven principles that we've learned from Nehemiah when we rebuild anything. Like, they rebuilt a physical wall, but any time in your life, we're all in a rebuilding phase, right? We're all here. We're saved. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. But then we become what, you know, a work in progress. So we're constantly rebuilding. The Holy Spirit's constantly working on us. We're rebuilding. Some of you might be rebuilding a career, a job, or a marriage, or whatever, or a relationship. But we're constantly, and even in your relationship with God, you're constantly rebuilding. And so that's kind of where these messages have came from the book of Nehemiah. And I actually read this. It's a book. Tom Holliday, who's a pastor at Saddleback Church, wrote this book, and it was based on, he was in a flood, his personal home flooded, the church flooded that he pastored, and God took him to the book of Nehemiah and showed him principles on how to rebuild their church and their home, you know, physical things. But there was a lot of emotional and mental things that went with that too, that was taken from them, and how they rebuilt all that. And it's a really good book. I highly recommend it, and that's where these messages have kind of come from that book. But just to kind of give you a little history on Nehemiah, I try to do this every Sunday when we've been in this series on Nehemiah. Nehemiah is, of course, in the Old Testament. It's 13 chapters long. And so kind of here's some history on Nehemiah. In 587 B.C., Babylon had attacked Jerusalem and destroyed its walls and the temple. All but a few of the people of the southern part of Israel were removed from their land and deported to Babylon, where they suffered in captivity. Almost 50 years later, in about 538 B.C., Persia defeated Babylon, and Cyrus, the king of Persia, began to send some of the people back to Israel. In his first year as king, he sent a group back to rebuild the temple. Nearly 100 years later, Nehemiah, an exile from Israel who had risen to become the cupbearer for the current Persian king, learned that the walls of Jerusalem were still in ruin, and he asked the king to go back to his hometown, his home country of Jerusalem, and he motivated the children of Israel, and they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. And it's a remarkable story. And so here's the seven principles that we've been learning from the book of Nehemiah. And the first one was, I will find the strength to start. We talked about taking steps of faith, and then number two went with it, I will take the first step. The third thing is, I will appreciate others, because it always takes, it's not just you. There's no such thing as lone rangers. We need each other in the kingdom of God. And so Nehemiah taught us how to appreciate other people and encourage them. Number four is, I will expect and reject opposition. That's where we learned that when you're in a rebuilding, whatever you're rebuilding, there's going to be attacks from the enemy. And so you need to know how to know his strategies and his schemes. And then we talked about, I will build on my success, what success looks like in the kingdom of God. And then the Sunday before last, is we talked about, I will celebrate to sustain my joy. And we need to learn how to celebrate as Christians. And then today what we're going to learn about is how to dedicate our lives or anything to God. That's what we're going to learn about today. It's going to be very practical. It's very good. And so the title of this message today is Dedicate It to God. And my sermon in a sentence for you today is, what is dedicated to God is what will last. Amen. And so I'm going to show you a scripture out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 in the New Testament. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified version. And it says, this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's talking about a life dedicated to God. And he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties, talking about your spirit, soul, and body, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. That's Romans 12:1. That's what God wants you to do with your life. Dedicate everything you are, spirit, soul, and body, to Him. And what, you know, when I used to read this, when I would read those things, I was like, And I am a pastor, and so I do stand up here behind a pulpit. That's what I thought dedication to God was, that I had to, you know, be in ministry and up behind a pulpit. And that's not necessarily the case. If that's a call upon your life, yeah, get in that lane, stay in it. But some of you are called to be businessmen and businesswomen. Some of you are called to see a teacher back here. Some of you are called, that's your ministry. That's what you need to dedicate to God. You know, wherever God has you at your purpose. Here's Mark Ward over here, coach. He's affecting, he told me this morning, I was like, oh my gosh, Mark. He said he's got 6 ball teams this summer. So see, he's overseeing 6 ball teams. And yeah, we need prayer. He needs some dedication today. And so, but he's overseeing, he's touching boys' lives, young guys' lives that I'll never touch from up here in a pulpit. You know, so everybody, every one of you in here have a ministry, wherever it's at in life, and that's what you need to dedicate to God. Now, you know, the Word of God was written for our example, and the Word tells us that we can learn from the children of Israel, their mistakes, their successes as well. But one of the things that the people of Israel went through was a pattern, and if you study the Word of God, they went through this pattern repeatedly. And I'm going to try to sum it up in this pattern. They would trust God, things would improve, but they would take it back to themselves, things would fall apart again, they had to trust God again, and then they just had this same pattern over and over and over. And Mark gave me a word before church today, and he said, I just feel like there's deliverance in the house today. Well, here's how deliverance happens. I agree with that word. Deliverance happens when you dedicate something to God. And so the key to not seeing that pattern that I just said about the children of Israel is found in dedicating it all to God. And the purpose of life grows out of dedication. That's how it grows, okay? That's how the deliverance happens, when you really dedicate something to God. All right, I'm going to give you, if you have your bulletin there, you can fill in the blanks this morning. I'm going to give you 4 things, very practical things about dedication, all right? Here's number one. Dedication begins with thanksgiving. Number one, dedication begins with thanksgiving. And this is in Nehemiah chapter 12. We're going to be in Nehemiah 12 and 13 today. And in Nehemiah 12, verse 27, it says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So there we go. They're rejoicing because of the walls. They're dedicating it to the wall of Jerusalem to the Lord, and they're rejoicing and they're giving thanks. Then jump down. I'm going to give you 2 things about thanksgiving that you need in your life. And this is Nehemiah 12, verses 31 through 38. It says, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned 2 large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed, everybody say proceed, on top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall together with half the people past the tower of the ovens to the broad wall. So, and the thing that I want you to glean from this, and we're studying, you know, what happened with Nehemiah and the wall of Jerusalem, but what I want you to glean from this in your everyday life, thanksgiving is what leads the way. A lot of times we think, well, I'll thank God when God does something, or when God pulls through, or God performs a miracle. No, thanksgiving is to lead the way. You need to be thanking God by faith for your miracle to happen, or whatever you're believing for. So thanksgiving leads the way. That's why I said, had you use the word proceed, because the Bible was saying that he sent the choirs out before him to give thanks to God as they were dedicating it to God. So everybody say, thanksgiving leads the way. All right, here's the second thing that we're going to learn about thanksgiving. Nehemiah 12, verse 43, it says, and on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. Thanksgiving must be heard. Yeah, you can give thanks to God in your heart, but you need to voice it. You need to let God know, God, I am so thankful for you and for all that you've done. I encourage you today, when you go home to eat your roast or your chicken or whatever's, you know, at home cooking, Jada said, what do we have, babe, cooking in the barbecue meatballs? God, I'm ready to get home right now. And this is going to be a short message. but when you go, here's the point I was wanting to make. When you go home to sit down for your Sunday meal, if you do that together as a family, before you start eating, go around the table and just tell each other what you're thankful to God for. And I just encourage you to start doing that as a practice, and it's pretty neat. And because you're going to find out that you're thankful to God for just the smallest of things. You know, a lot of times we think, no, it's the big things. No, I'm thankful for the little bitty things in life. So thanksgiving must be heard. In the New Testament, it tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 19, that we need to be speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. You might be saying, well, I can't sing like Luke can, or I can't sing like Taya can. You have a voice. God wants you to use it, all right? To Him, you sound beautiful, all right? You may just want to do it at home in your shower or whatever, but God wants to hear your voice, all right? And He wants you to sing and give Him thanks. All right, here's number two. Number two, dedication is shown by purification. Dedication is shown by purification. And when I first read this, you know, all of a sudden the enemy likes to bring shame and guilt and all that kind of stuff, and like there's no way you can ever be pure enough. And here's the deal. We're not. There's not one of us in this room that's pure enough. The one that's pure is Jesus. That's where our purification comes from. And this is Nehemiah 12, verse 30. It says, when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. And I'm going to go on and explain all this. Dedication is shown by purification. In John 17, 19, this is what Jesus said about us. He said, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, talking about us, so they can be made holy by your truth. It's Jesus' righteousness. It's not ours, right? None of us are righteous in this room, not one of us, the Bible says. But it's His righteousness. So purity, I want you to get this. Purity is seen in what you pursue, not in what you don't do. All right, so it's pursuing God. A lot of times we get this Christian life is a bunch of do's and don'ts. No, it's about you pursuing God. And as you pursue God, all this other junk is going to fall off, I promise you. And that's how it works. Now, you may be still saying, well, Pastor, I still don't feel pure enough. Well, here's a good scripture for you. 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, here's that word, purify us, from all unrighteousness. Now get this, you may want to write this down or post it or tweet it. Confession, not perfection, is the road to purity for followers of Jesus. I'll say that again. Confession, not perfection, is the road to purity for the followers of Jesus. Jesus knows how messed up we all are. That's why He came. That's why He died in our place. And that's why He wants to give us His righteousness to use in our lives. And so that's where our purity comes from, is from Jesus. Now, I'm going to take this a step further, because Jada tells me this a lot. And when I'm doing my messages, she said, Mark, she goes, you're a great teacher, but sometimes explain, get it down on somebody's level and really explain what that really looks like in real life. So this is what I'm going to try, because I knew this one. How do you walk out purification? All right, what does it look like? And I'm just going to give you, there's lots of examples that I could do today, but I'm just going to give you one that really brings this home, and it's in a marriage, all right, and making your purity in young people, the ones that are not married in here yet, you really need to listen to this. And so I'm going to use an example. I hope there's no Chad and Julie in here, because this example I'm using is Chad and Julie. But Chad and Julie's marriage, Julie decided that even though they were married before God and they were, you know, they had a pastor do their wedding ceremony and all this, she decided after they got married that she really needed to dedicate her marriage to God and purify it. Now I'm going to teach you what this word purify means and how she was purifying her marriage. When she would get mad at Chad, she would always call a friend to vent. And this friend, a great girlfriend of hers, would always take her side and validate her anger every time. And so she decided, I'm going to dedicate my marriage to God, I'm going to purify it, and I'm going to quit calling this friend when Chad and I get in a spat. And so she decided to talk. She said, what I'm going to do is, here's my dedication. I dedicate my marriage to God. And when Chad and I are going to get in a fight, because here's the deal, if you're married, it's going to happen. Amen. Okay, we've been real in here this morning. Yeah, thank you, Travis. Yeah, it's going to happen. She was already making this pre-made decision that whenever Chad and I get into the fight, instead of calling my friend, I'm going to talk to God about it. And so she said, but one day, we were sitting in the car, and we got in a fight, and we got pretty heated, and Chad just, he pulled over the car and stopped because he was so mad, and he said, I got to get out and just cool off for a little bit. So he got out, and she goes, I'm sitting in the car, and I have my cell phone on my lap, and I just wanted so bad to call my friend and tell her, you know, where we're at. We're stopped on a highway. He's mad at me and all this. And she said, but she remembered her dedication to God. She put her phone down, and she just prayed. She said, God, help me help my marriage. Sometimes you just got to pray, help me help myself, right? And so she did, and she said, and she goes, it was a simple little prayer like that. I'm not going to call my friend. God, I'm talking to you about this. Help me. And she said, most of the time when Chad would get mad, he would do what most guys do in that stonewall and just be mad for a day, you know. And so, but immediately Chad, he got, right after she prayed this, Chad got back into the vehicle, and he looked at her, and he apologized. And she was able to apologize too, and then that happened. But it all happened because she decided, I'm not going to call somebody else. This marriage is between Chad and I and God, not anybody else coming into our marriage. And so that's what she did, and that's how she brought purification to her marriage, and that's how you dedicate something is shown by purification. All right, here's number three. Dedication is expressed in giving. I can remember when we dedicated this church to God, we had several, church services out here. I can remember having a church service in here where it was nothing but concrete floor, and we had a church service where we encouraged people to give as we were dedicating this building to God. And then we had people go around that had Sharpies and these big black markers. And underneath this concrete everywhere, even up here on the stage in different places, people, families, you know, wrote their dedication prayer and their names and scriptures. And they're all over the place around here. And then one night after we had got into the building, we had another dedication service. I'll never forget this. And it was because we got in here like at the end of December. And I think it was probably sometime in January or February when we did this. It was one evening. We had a worship service. We was dedicating this property to God, this building, this altar, just everything. God, this is your house. And so I had found a pastor friend of mine had these stakes, these metal stakes that had scripture on them. And I think it was Isaiah, a scripture in Isaiah that it had on them about your tent stakes, you know, broaden your tents and all that. I can't remember exactly what scripture that is, but it's written on these stakes, and so there's three corners. This is shaped like a pie, this land here, and so I told him what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and then we're going to split up in three groups, and this group's going to go to this corner, that corner, and this corner up here, and we're going to drive these stakes in the ground and just dedicate this whole property to God. And so then this is in the winter. And so we did that, and as people came back, we come back in here, and so I was asking people then, the three, there's just a small group of us, but there was three different groups, and so I was asking, what did God speak to you? And I'll never forget what Pop said, Lawrence Ramey, who's went on to be with the Lord. He came back, and he said, Pastor, he goes, I think he might have went to this corner, I think, in his group. And he said, Pastor, when we was walking out there, and this, remember, it's wintertime, the grass was dead. And so he said, and it was cold that evening. He said, when we were walking out there, he goes, every time I stepped, the grass was crunching underneath my feet. And he goes, and it sounded like bones. And he said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that this church is always going to trample on the enemy. I was like, hoorah. You know? Yeah, and I'll never forget that. He spoke that word that evening when we was in here. And I was like, that is awesome. And that was what we were dedicating this for, that this is going to be a lighthouse for God and for people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it's still doing it. Amen. And it's going to continue to do it till he comes back. So dedication is expressed in giving. And that's what we would, you know, during that time we had people, giving to the building fund. I have so many stories about that. And we have built this. We had a 15-year note, and guys, I think we paid it off in less than 7 years. God is so good and faithful. It was awesome. So we are debt-free, no debt on this building at all. And I'm telling you, Art Harris was the banker that loaned us the money on this, and he's went home to be with the Lord as well. He had to loan money by faith. Thank God I found a lender that would loan money by faith, because we sure didn't have the financial stuff to prove it. But God came through, and we paid it off. And I'll never forget there was all kinds of stories about the giving. But some of you have heard this story before. And she's now married and has a family, and it was Chelsea Dykes. I'll never forget, just got this property out here, and so we started creating a building fund and people to give to what we were going to do out here. And she came up to me at church down here on Main Street, and she caught me after church, and she said, "Pastor Mark," and I can't remember, she maybe seven, well, she was older than seven or eight because she was babysitting, so however old you are, maybe teenager, young teenager, she was babysitting. And she said, "I got this money from babysitting, and it was $5. And she said, "And I want to put it towards our building." I was like, "Praise God." And I still remember that $5 to this day. It was either her babysitting money or her allowance or something like that. But anyway, I still remember that to this day. Dedication is expressed in giving. And this is Nehemiah 12, verses 44 and 47. It says, "At the time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits, and tithes from the fields around the towns. They were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron." What that's talking about is how they brought the tithe into the storehouse. Yes, Pastor Mark's going to talk about giving today. Don't you love that? And so here's four things about giving. God wants you to give obediently. God loves a cheerful giver. God requires us in our word. If you'll study this out for yourselves, this is a whole nother message, but he requires that we give. And I say give, really we're to pay it. You're really not giving until you go above 10%, if we want to get really technical about it. But to give your tithe to the Lord, you need to give it obediently and see what God will do. All right? You need to give responsibly. That means that you need to do this every time you get paid. You need to give cooperatively. That just means as a church family, we all need to be doing this. I know how some people are. They're like, "Oh, Mr. Big Bucks goes to the church, so let's let Mr. Big Bucks take care of it." Let me tell you something about Mr. Big Buck Bucks. I'm tripping myself up saying that. Mr. Big Bucks is sometimes Mr. Big Bucks needs to give as well. Amen. And because Mr. Big Bucks is hanging on to his money, and it's seen as a god. God doesn't want to see in our money as a god. And I promise you, I'm trying to teach you this as a pastor. I don't understand it, but when you start giving, something happens in your heart. When you start doing your tithe and giving above your tithe, something happens in your heart. God is able to release more in you and through you when you're obedient to this. And it just works. And I've seen God move time and time again, miracles upon miracles. And then he wants you to give sacrificially. Sometimes he'll ask you to give sacrificially. And when he tells you to do that, do it. And everybody said, amen, and you will be blessed. But giving, dedication, you can't dedicate something without, because whatever you're dedicated to, you're giving yourself to it. So dedication is expressed in giving. And I just talked about, you know, the monetary things, but God wants you to give your time and your talents as well. I call it the T's, your time, talent, and treasures to God. All right? He wants you to give it all. Okay, here's the last one. Dedication must be refreshed. Dedication must be refreshed. And I'll explain this to you just in our personal lives. You know, have you ever been to a service and you heard somebody say, if you need to rededicate your life, right? That's what it's talking about. Sometimes, I'm not saying that you're not saved and you're not going to heaven. Sometimes we just kind of get off the path a little bit, and we need to refresh our dedication to God. Amen? Has Pastor Mark had to do that? Yeah, I have. I've had to do that. I'll just get real with you this morning. There's been some Mondays where I wanted to quit the ministry and quit being a pastor, and God would say, I need you to rededicate. You know, you need a refreshment here. And sometimes when that's going on in your lives, guys, I'm going to tell you, sometimes you just need to get away and recharge. Jesus had to do that. Jesus had to get away and away from the people and recharge and refresh himself. But when this happens, I'm going to give you four things underneath this point real quick, because this is a big one. You may be fooling everybody else that you're really dedicated to something or whatever it is, but you know in your heart if you are not. And so the first thing you need to do is stop skirting the issue. And this is in Nehemiah 13, verse 11, where he says, "So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts." So what Nehemiah did, these priests were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. So he confronted them to stop skirting the issue and get back to their task at hand. And sometimes we need to do that within ourselves. Stop skirting around the issue, face the music, right? And that's where deliverance comes, what we were talking about, you know, and stop skirting around it. Some of us know what the issue is. Just hit it head on, guys. Quit trying to shove it underneath the rug, because it's going to come out somewhere. Just get it taken care of, whatever that is. Here's the second thing that we start doing and why we need to refresh. Some of us start compromising with the enemy. And this is found in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And this is where it says, "But while all this was going on," this is the last chapter of Nehemiah. It says, "But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Art, king of Babylon," I'll just call him Art, "I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing that Elisha had done in providing Tobiah." Remember Tobiah? He was one of the guys that was causing, that the enemy was using in, like, around Nehemiah chapter 2. It says, "He provided Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God." And he goes, "I was greatly displeased and threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense." And so here's the lesson. The enemy will keep trying to move back in, and this is why you must quit compromising and get back to a place of commitment and keep him out of your life. All right? Don't compromise with the enemy and let him back in. And that's what Nehemiah said. So you got to kick him out and then fill that place back up with God. Don't just kick him out, but whatever place he was in, fill that place back up with God. There's a story in the New Testament where Jesus said, if you don't fill it back up with himself, then the enemy can bring in seven times more. We don't want that. Amen. We don't want that. We want true deliverance. So fill that place back up with the Lord. Here's number three. Choose to remove opportunities for sin. Nehemiah 13, verses 19 and 22. It says, "When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love." So he was just removing the opportunities for sin. For the children of Israel, the Sabbath day was holy. You wasn't to do any work on that day. And so to keep that from happening, they were doing work. And so Nehemiah said, we're just going to shut the door. So, and here's the deal, guys. Every one of us, what this is speaking to us, choose to remove opportunities for sin. Every one of us in here need boundaries, okay? And you need to learn how to say no, okay? No. Sometimes you just got to say no. Quit saying yes to everything. And sometimes you got to say no to put those boundaries up. And this is what I like to call pre-made decisions. We must plan in advance to keep out of our lives the things that are hurting us. And everybody said, amen. Sometimes, and guys, I know this is tough, but sometimes it can be your own family. You know, what we call the tough love that, you know, Jade and I, we've had family members before where we had to say, you know, why is it that every time they come around, then you and I start fighting? Anybody have those kind of family members? Okay, then that's when you know as a couple, and it could be a friend. I'm using family as an example, but it could be a friend. It could be somebody just like, okay, we need to put some boundaries up, you know, and they can't come around all the time. But you and your spouse need to be on the same page about that. I mean, make pre-made decisions, all right? And here's number four, the last one. Fill your life with God's purposes. And this is Nehemiah 13, verse 30. It says, so I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. So he was telling them, get back to what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. And how many of you know that phrase? It's an old phrase. It says, idle hands are the devil's playground. And that is so true. We need to fill our life with God's purposes. And there's so many examples in the Word of God about this. One of them is King David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And the Bible says that he should have been out at war with his soldiers because that was his God-given task as a king. And he should have been out in war leading his troops. Instead, he was walking around on the palace roof being a peeping Tom watching Bathsheba bathe. And we all know that story, right? And it was because he wasn't in his right spot. He wasn't fulfilling. He wasn't in God's purpose. And that's how that all happened, that story. And the Bible even says that, even in the Old Testament, that David was a man after God's own heart, all right? God is a very gracious and forgiving God. But he needs us to be dedicated to him. And this is how we do it. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, there's times I need to be refreshed, right? We all need that refreshing. We need to rededicate ourselves. But dedication, here, let's go over these again. Dedication begins with thanksgiving. Dedication is shown by purification. Dedication is expressed in giving. That's of our time, our talents, and our treasures. And dedication must be refreshed. So, hope that, did that minister to anybody today? Everybody get a word out of that? Okay. I want y'all leaving here today dedicated to God. So I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to pray over you. And first of all, I just want to make sure that you have truly made that ultimate dedication to God. And that's by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here this morning, and I'm going to pray over you and speak a blessing over you. Jada, will you come up here with me? And but I want to pray this over all of us. Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we thank you that we're walking out of here today dedicated to you. And God, we give you thanks. Lord, we're going to show our dedication by purification. So, Lord, I'm praying that if there's something here today as I spoke that maybe it's like this couple that said, okay, I'm not calling my friend when I get mad at my spouse. Lord, I pray that you're speaking to people and that they're going to know what that is, and then do it, God, whatever that dedication looks like for them in whatever area, in their marriage, a relationship, family, maybe it's on their job, their career, whatever it is. And God, we're going to express our dedication and giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures to you, Lord. And then, God, we're going to wake up every day and make sure that our dedication is refreshed and that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and not allowing the enemy in and making those pre-made decisions. And so, Lord, I pray that over all of your people today in Jesus' name, that word dedication. And dedication is what leads to deliverance, God, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And God, I speak a blessing over everyone here today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. Hug somebody's neck, shake their hand, say, I'm dedicated to God. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed week.